So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 15th chapter, titled The Description of the Kingdom of God, text number 4.
Deva Deva Jagaddatar,
Deva Deva Jagaddatar,
Deva Deva Jagaddatar,
Deva Deva
Lokanate Lokanata Shikamane
Lokanata Shikamane
Lokanata Shikamane
Lokanata Shikamane
Parisama Paresam Tva.
O God of the demigods. I think someone has got some problem with English, I think. I said, I'll read the translation first, and then you can read it again, right? That's the format we do.
O God of the demigods, sustainer of the universe, head jewel of all the demigods in other planets, you know the intentions of all living entities in both the spiritual and material worlds.
Okay, now we can go through that. I know as devotees you are very, very anxious to read Srimad Bhagavatam, but this all happening only in the class. All right, now we can read.
O God of the demigods,
God of the demigods,
sustainer of the universe,
sustainer of the universe,
head jewel of all demigods,
head jewel of all demigods,
in other planets,
you know the intentions.
Of all living entities,
in both the spiritual and material worlds.
Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Because Brahma is almost on an equal footing with the personality of Godhead, is addressed here as the God of the demigods, and because He is secondary creator of this universe, He is addressed as the sustainer of the universe. He is the head of all the demigods and therefore is addressed here as a head jewel of the demigods. It's not difficult for him to understand everything which is happening in both the spiritual and material worlds. He knows everyone's heart and everyone's intentions. Therefore, he was requested to explain this incident. Why was the pregnancy of Diti causing such anxieties all over the world?
Om Ajnana Tibarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Ena Bhuta Swayam Rupa Kadamam Tadati Svatadati Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada, Shivatada, Gora Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna.
Now, in the purport, right, they're all asking, you know, he's the head of the head and therefore he's addressed as the head jewel of the demigods. He's the secondary creator and all that. So who is it referring to?
Which personality?
Brahma,
yeah, it's referring to. Now, who is addressing that to Brahma?
All the devas.
All the demigods. So, all the demigods are approaching Brahma because the planet, right, was covered by darkness. Imagine when we're giving Bhagavatam class, the children turns off the light, right? It'll be dark. But still, effulgence may be coming, will be coming from Krishna, of course, not become dark. But imagine, it will be darkness, right? We cannot see anything, we cannot perceive anything. So in the same way, the sun, moon, everything was covered, you know. See, the only source of light, other than the nuclear technology, where they can generate electricity, is for this darkness of the material world, is through sun and moon. We know that. A couple of days back, Gopa Vrindesh Prabhu covered that, right? And some stars are there. So the main source is sun and the moon. So moon is also regarded as one of the chief stars. Now that if everything is covered, then the demigod who is a controller of the universe went into a fearful situation. They did not know what to do. So they approached Brahma.
So what I thought is, this is Srila Prabhupada himself is glorifying Brahma, you know, the purport. So it's a very, you know, serious topic too. So I just thought I'll divide that into 6 points today, but we'll be covering soon, you know. Not each of the points will not take more time. But anyway, first is, what's the cause of DT's pregnancy, right? And then what has led, that has led to this problem? We'll see what it is. And what did she do after realizing that the sons are, you know, that two sons, you know, are born to her, you know, basically they're demons. And after she realized, what did she do? And then, demigods, why do they approach authority? Right? They can go directly to Krishna, but they still have authority, right? Through Brahma. That's a parampara. So we'll discuss on that. And then, Brahma's position has been explained by Srila Prabhupada in 3 points. Right? We'll quickly go through that. In that also, we'll talk a little bit about the Brahma's lifespan and a simple analogy to understand between us, the common living entity, and the chief living entity. And then, Brahma, how is giving knowledge? And even though he's giving knowledge, he's a head of a parampara. Right? Our parampara is known as Brahma, Madhava, Gaudiya, Vaishnava, Sampradaya. So Brahma is a Adi Guru, he's a head of that. So we will talk a little bit about that. And then even though Brahma is a head, you know, even though he's having an old parampara of his own, yet he was bewildered. Right? Some occasions he was bewildered. We'll see one occasion. And then Brahma's activity is very difficult to understand. We just understand Brahma's in a small analogy to understand what Brahma does. And then finally, how as living entities, are, as all of us are bound in the material world, and to understand that, a small fish analogy. Okay, we'll see, hopefully it will be a quick one. I'm not dwelling on many points, you know, for a long time. So the first is, DT's cause for the pregnancy and what it... So, this is due to the union of DT and Kashyapa at the wrong time, inauspicious time. So time is very, very important. Time bounds us in this material world. Right? So due to the inauspicious association of a husband and a wife, it gave birth to 2 demons. So one has to be careful, right, about the association. And then what happened that DT, soon she realized that there's something wrong. Because she's the one who, you know, basically, you know, forced her husband for this activity because she wanted a child very soon. Because all her sisters are having children. So she was, you know, thinking, why should I not have? But the association was in a wrong moment or a time. Now, after realizing that something has gone wrong, she felt ashamed and went to the husband. Kashyapa Muni is a great, you know, he's a great Brahmana and a saint too, you know. See, we used to have a Gotra. Actually, it was interesting that I came to know that our Gotra is Kashyapa. And I asked my mother, she said, Kashyapa, somewhere, you know, there's a lead there. So that's the Gotra of the starting Kashyapa Muni. He's a very, very, you know, very powerful person. Now, Kashyapa Muni can see the past, present and the future. He said, oh, you foolish lady, you have given birth, your embryo, right, which is forming 2 demons, which is going to terrorize and victimize the whole world, the universe, right? So you are condemned, you know, because, see, people have to, you know, produce good children, and they should be a useful commodity or a useful, you know, thing to the society, basically, you know. But in this case, you have your womb is condemned because you have given birth to 2 demons. Now, DT was very much, you know, taken back. She was fearful. She was thinking, what should I do? What's the solution for this? Then Kashyapa Muni said, but nevertheless, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, He will descend down to kill both your sons. So, she had a mixed feeling. On one hand, she was thinking, oh, I'm going to give birth to such 2 terrible demons, right? Who's going to terrorize. But at the same time, the Supreme Personality of Godhead will come. So in that way, my sons will be killed by the Supreme Lord. Okay? She had that mixed feeling. So what she did, she wanted these sons not to come. So she had a power to withhold her 2 demon children for nearly 100 years. This is a power those days. Right? And because of that, this is causing disturbances. Because the children were in the womb for 100 years, that is causing a lot of problem. Imagine when they come out, how it would have been. Right? Anyway, so that is the cause of the problem. So she withheld, and she was also following her husband, you know. Told her to pray, do some prayers, which she was following also during that time. Then, the second point, I wanted to discuss is, demigods, right, they approach authority. In this purport, right, it's interesting to note that the demigods follow authority. Srila Prabhupada, in one of the purports, he's saying that demigods always follow authority, but humans defy the authority. We as human beings, we don't follow authority. Who is our authority for us? Our mind. The mind says, do that, we'll do it. That's our authority, right? Huh? So, the demigods always follow authority. Because here we see, whenever the demigods are in a fearful condition, when they have some universal problem with the administration, then they approach Brahma. Chief of the demigods, they approach, and Brahma takes them to Krishna or Vishnu accordingly, and then the problem will be solved. So we, for material or spiritual, doesn't matter, if we follow the authority, then the problem will be solved. But we don't want to follow the authority, isn't it? Because of that, all the problems are created. Because we are adamant, we don't want to follow authority. Now what is our real authority? Even though someone may say that our mind, right? What is the real authority? The real authority for us humans is Guru, Sadhu, Shastra. One has to follow the instructions of Guru or Sadhu, scriptures or Shastra, scriptures or Sadhu, any saintly person. We have to follow the instructions. Then any reversals will be nullified, will be rectified. See, Arjuna had an issue. Arjuna had this problem, the battle of Kurukshetra. He was disturbed, confused. It's a big problem actually. If someone, you know, if say for example, someone gives a knife or a, you know, sword or something and says, kill your, you know, all your relatives, brothers, sisters. How am I going to do that? It's a serious problem. Right? Arjuna had difficulty. Right? But he followed the authority. And then the problem was fixed. So in the same way, we should also follow the authority if we want to have a peaceful life. So, not only that, we should follow the authority, we should also listen to them submissively. So it's not just following the authority and they'll say something, okay, thank you, goodbye. It's not like that. Approaching the authority, submission, submitting yourself, listening, and then following the action, right? Following the advice. So it's a three-step. First, you approach them. Second, you listen to them submissively. And third, you act according to their instruction. Otherwise, it's not going to work. It's a three-step process. Okay. Then, third point. Brahma, how Srila Prabhupada explains. Okay. Brahma's position is very, very powerful. See, Srila Prabhupada explains, you know, through the purport. He said, first, he's got an equal footing with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's addressed as a God of the demigods. Devadi Deva. See, he's a God of the demigods. Because whenever there's a problem, as we said, authority, the demigods approach Brahma and then they will go to the Supreme Lord. So, in that way, he's got an equal footing, but nevertheless, Brahma is not equal to Krishna. Right? He's a secondary creator. Krishna has done everything for Brahma and Brahma is creating. That we will see a bit later in our knowledge. Then, he's a secondary, and then he's addressed as a sustainer of the universe because he creates all the living entity. He not only creates, but he also makes sure that the living entity has got it. Had got all the, you know, necessities, requirements. For example, the parents, right? You know, they make sure that the children has got everything for the needs. In the same way, Brahma also makes sure that all the necessities are given for the children. We, as children, you know. Because what Brahma does is basically, a soul is put into a material body based on the desire. That's what Brahma does. It's like an assembly line. Right? There is eyes, there is nose, there is tongue. He joins them. Difficult to understand. Because all these are gross elements. Earth, water, fire, air, ether. Right? So earth, water, fire, air, ether. Right? They are the component that's created by the Supreme Lord. It's all available. Like in our production, we mix, you know, potassium chloride and sodium hydroxide and the preservatives, you know, sodium benzoate and all that, and we make a small tablet and everyone thinks that that's good, but actually it's going to create problems. But that's how it is, because chemicals, you know, it's mixing up, and we make a tablet and we think that, yes, we are the manufacturers of, you know, big, you know, capsules and pharmaceuticals. No, it's already there. What we are doing is mixing, blending. That's what we do. Blending, punching, packing. And then we get the name, you know, brand name. So in the same way, earth, water, fire, air, ether, that's created by the Supreme Lord. Mind, intelligence, false ego is also created. Krishna says, right? Bhumi apo nalo vayu kam mano buddhi evacha hankara ityame bhinna prakriti asyata. These are the eight Lord's separated energy. The metal energy is Lord's energy, but separated. Why? Because when you are in the metal energy, it gives a separate existence. That I and mine. See? Because it's separated. Lord's separate energy will give separate existence. But when you associate with the Lord, then you have spiritual. Because of the association with the Lord, you are put into the spiritual energy. And then you can realize that you are spirit soul. But as long as you are dwelling in the metal energy, you will have a separate existence. That is how the nature is. So what does Brahma do? He mixes all that earth, water, fire and makes a beautiful body. Then all the senses, which earth, water, fire, they are all in the mode of ignorance. We may think, oh, it's very nice. So the body is the mode of ignorance. Then what does he do? Brahma, he takes all the senses, which is made up of mode of passion. All the 10 senses, right? They are mode of passion. Eyes, mode of passion. Because however much you give, they will never be happy. Krishna says, you know, give me more, you know. It takes more and more, it burns like a fire. It'll never be satisfied. If someone is under the impression that, yes, I am going to enjoy through my senses, good luck to you. Krishna is saying you cannot enjoy. Then you try birth after birth. It's not possible. Because it's like a fire. How much can you satisfy the fire? It keeps on burning. So one can never get satisfaction through the senses, which is material life. Material life means enjoyment through the senses, because the body is a bag of senses. A bag filled with all the senses is our body. That's how it is. Right? And then the mind is in the mode of goodness. So Brahma also puts the mind, intelligence, false ego. So if the mind chants and if it is clear, then it becomes your friend, Krishna says in the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. The mind can be the best friend or worst enemy. So if the mind is your friend, you can live with your friend throughout your life. But if your mind is your enemy, you have to live with your enemy. So in that way, and then he is a head of all the demigods, and therefore he is addressed as a head jewel of the demigods. Just like how Srila Prabhupada is also a head jewel of our parampara, sampradaya, Srila Prabhupada. So in the same way, Brahma is known as a head jewel. Brahma's lifespan. Brahma lives for 312 trillion years. Then compared to our years, right? In Kali Yuga, the proposed life is, the proposed shelf life. We also have shelf life in the pharmaceutical. When you make a product, we have to determine whether it's 1 year or 2 year or 3 year. For that, we have to do some stability test. So in the same way, the shelf life of a Kali Yuga product, human being, is 100 years. Proposed shelf life. But it's very difficult. I don't see anyone in the recent past has lived up to 100 years, you know. Normally 70, 80 and all that. 50, 30, 40 only the cholesterol starts. And where is the question of 100 years, you know? If someone gets a cholesterol at the age of 90, we can imagine. 30 cholesterol means, you know, it's very difficult, you know. So it's very difficult. So, you know, 100 years, you know, it's just a dream. One can dream. Already there's an illusion. One can dream that I live, but it's impossible. And the food we eat and all that is so substandard. So it's not like the previous yugas. So obviously, you know, the lifespan is reduced. So Brahma lives for 312 trillion years, which is unimaginable. We cannot even comprehend. But a small analogy can help us understand, right? Now what happens is, in our body there are a lot of bacteria and viruses and microbes. Do you know that? Our beautiful body has got lot of viruses. For that, you can have a separate section. Mahatma Prabhu will explain to you. Because if I introduce Mahatma Prabhu, then my class will be disrupted. Right? So later on, if anyone wants any, how many bacteria are there, what's the classification, you can talk to Mahatma Prabhu. He's a doctor. He will explain to everything. After that, one will take a Krishna consciousness. Because we are in illusion. We are thinking everything is okay. No. So many viruses are inside the body, right? Now to understand, there's a small virus known as amoeba. Amoebiasis, you know that. You know what all it does? Oh. It is a, such a, you cannot even see. It does not have a gross body, I think. Hopefully. Because, or it may be having a very small gross body. But the damage is, it got, it somehow, you know.
One cell body. Unicellular.
Okay, see, there you go. Now, it goes, it bites your intestine. You know, the intestine is like a, Prabhu, how many meters? 1 kilometer, 2 kilometers, something like that. But the intestine, no, it's not a joke. Our intestine is about 1 kilometer or what?
1 mile.
1 mile, whatever it may be. It's just folded like that. So the food we eat, when we take khichdi, right? It's not easy to digest, okay? It goes through that 1 kilometer zone. And then it'll be crushed and all that, you know, it'll be crushed like a machine, like a mixie. Mixie is happening inside. But with Krishna's power, it's a fire of digestion. Through everything you need Krishna's mercy, otherwise, you know, you're finished. So with the fire of digestion, it's digesting. Now this one bacteria goes into that very nicely, right? And then it disrupts the whole system, it eats your intestine, right? And then what happens, it starts bleeding, you understand? Then that will come through your stool. So then what doctor says, amoebias is suffering. The first question is, I have loose motion, doctor. I'm suffering, you know, my stomach pain. When I eat, it's painy. When I take a little bit of spices and all that, you know, the doctor said, do you have a stool in your, correct? Do you pass stool? They say, yes, okay, amoebias is. Metrogyl. Correct, Prabhu? You prescribe Metrogyl, right? Metrinidazole. Isn't it? The recommended dose is Metrinidazole. So, that kills, you know. It basically upsets your stomach, and that amoebiasis, right? That bacteria that lives only for 1 hour. Krishna is very kind. He has given a problem and an immediate rectification, right? If the amoebiasis live for say 1 day, then we will die. It does a disruption, it will die. 1 hour. Now we live for say 60, 70 years. For us, that 1 hour is nothing, right? For example, if someone gives you $5 billion for 10 seconds, how do you feel? There's not much difference. What's the use of... Someone tells you, take my $10 billion for 10 seconds. And then before you realize, before you do the transfer, immediately it transfers back. What is the use? So in the same way, 1 hour, but it disrupts because that living entity, when it dies, it says, I want to create terror. I am a terrorist. I want to kill others. Okay, do little bit and you die. That's what they want. 1 hour it does. So like that, what happens is, this parampara system is also passing on with the amoebiasis. When it dies, it will say, take this knowledge and distribute the knowledge. So one amoebiasis gets this knowledge and it starts the parampara system. Right? Because if you don't take the medicine, the parampara will continue and your stomach will be gone. So that is why we take the medication. So in the same way, we can understand, right? One amoebiasis, 1 hour it lives in our body, which we live for 70 years. So in 70 years, 1 hour, it's not a big deal, right? Because in the past, we go for a movie for 3.5 hours. Correct? So 1 hour is nothing. So, our Brahma lives for 312 trillion years. In 1 day of Brahma, Krishna comes once. And there is partial destruction and a full destruction. In the night of Brahma, there is a partial destruction. At the end of Brahma's life, there is a full destruction. So he's a very, very powerful personality. Now, Yeah, that we covered. Then Brahma, you know how Brahma is giving knowledge, right? Brahma got this knowledge from Krishna. And after getting the knowledge, Brahma sang Brahma Samhita. This is prior to creation. Right? See, someone may think, right? Oh, Brahma, because of a creator, he saw everything and then he composed Brahma Samhita. No. Because Krishna was inspiring him, right, through Gayatri Mantra, he received all the knowledge. And then he wrote Brahma Samhita. Because that's like a blueprint. They call it blueprint, right? So he got the structure. Oh, Devi is, you know, Mother Durga is, you know, managing the universe. It's like this and all that. So he sang that, Brahma Samhita. See, it's easy for us. See, what I'm doing is, I'm collecting notes from various books and Srila Prabhupada lectures and giving a lecture. That's easy. But if I have to write a book, that's difficult. You know what I mean? Collection is easy. So Brahma has got the blueprint and then he wrote Brahma Samhita. And Brahma Samhita is there. Everything is there. You know, how we... He's glorifying Krishna, you know. So one gets a full, you know, structure. Brahma Samhita. Now, our Brahma is a pure devotee, right? And he is the head of the Sampradaya. Right? Brahma, Madhava, Gaudiya, Vaishnava Sampradaya. So he's the head of a Sampradaya. So Brahma is also spreading Krishna consciousness through his Sampradaya. Why is he doing? He's an authority. Right? He's one of the 12 Mahajans, Brahma. So, naturally he's an authority and hence he distributes the Krishna consciousness to everyone. Now, as you know, our Krishna consciousness is a descending process. We don't concoct. It has to come from Krishna. Everything has to come from Krishna through the parampara system. Right? Krishna to Brahma. Brahma to Narada Muni. Narada Muni to Vedavyas. And Vedavyas to? Madhavacharya. Madhavacharya to? Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri to Ishwara Puri. Ishwara Puri to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Srila Prabhupada. And then it goes away. See, it's a parampara system. Krishna also wants us to be followed from him. So there's no concoction. So Prabhupada gave everything is as it is. No mixing. So that's why it's very powerful. And Brahma is the oldest person. He's the first living entity to be born. And he has started a parampara. So how pure it should be. How old it should be. So our parampara is very old and pure. Because it's as it is. No contamination there. So, someone may ask a question. What if I don't follow the parampara? Right? I'm also following Krishna consciousness, right? But I'm not following parampara. Is it all right? Is it okay, Prabhu? It's not okay. Why it's not okay? Because anything which is not coming from Krishna has got four defects. If it comes from Krishna, it is defectless. There's no defect. But anything, if it is not coming from Krishna, it has got this material content. It has got four defects. What are the four defects? Cheating propensity. Then, to be in illusion, to commit mistake, and imperfect senses. There you go. That's it. One of the problems will be there. If someone thinks it's very great, he will commit mistakes. See, that is why it is very, 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 very important to follow the disciplic succession, follow the authority, Guru, Sadhu, Shastra. Because if we don't follow, what happens? The mind is filled with only me, my extended family, my father, my mother, my uncle. That's what will be there. Right? What is a mind? Mind is a container. Everything is mine only. But you fill it up with Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Then that mind, that will go away. The mind is a container, right? You keep on filling Krishna, the old things will go out. You don't fill it up with Krishna, the old thing will stay. That is how it is. So keep on putting Krishna conscious. Then the other things will go out. But why do people have problems? That they don't come to Krishna conscious. They are used to the same. Because they are not filling up the container with Krishna consciousness. A devotee quickly progresses. Why? Because mind is nothing but previous mind is nothing but a container filled with previous experiences, previous memories, previous habits. That's all mind is. If one understands that, it's very easy to control, right? What are the mind filled up with? Mind filled up with previous memories, previous experiences, and previous habits. This is what is mind. And the mind is a center of material existence. How? A soul, right? In the spiritual world, the soul is everything. So in the material world, the mind is everything. The mind dominates the soul, the material world. Even though we are spirit soul, the mind dominates. Because the only way for the soul to come out, we are all soul, right? It has to come out. It has to come out through the mind. So when the mind is filled up with rubbish, it will act in that way. That's how it is, right? If the light has to come through a hole, and if the hole is blue, it has to emit blue light. So in the same way, the soul, it has to act. It has to act. But the only way it has to come out is through the mind and the senses. So if the mind is not clean, your actions won't be clean. So we saw that. So Brahma is the one who is giving knowledge. And it's the first created. We saw that. And then, even though Brahma, we see that he has got such an elevated position, yet he is bewildered at times. Why? Because we think that Brahma is doing a mistake, right? No, when Brahma does something, right, it's covered under Yoga Maya. When we do something, it is covered under Mahamaya. That's the difference. Okay, Brahma gets bewildered because there is some Krishna's action there just for a fraction of a second. You know, in the case of, you know, Krishna's pastime, when Brahma stole, right, the cows and the calves, 1 second, immediately Brahma realized, but it was too late, right? He realized because he was in Yogamaya, already he knows, but it's just, you know, the Lord's arrangement, and he goes back. But for us, life after life, we will never change because we are in the Mahamaya. A good analogy to explain this has been given by Chaitanya Charan Prabhu. Right? What he says is, we all of us have seen movies, right? Of course, we have to be frank. Or at least we know, hero, heroine, villain. You know, villain is a main part. Bollywood, nowadays I don't know, I'm guessing. Bollywood movies, there may be many villains just to make the movie interesting. Now, what he's explaining is, in the movie, right, sometimes we see the villain falls, you know, from a building or something, or a car hits him, and his hand will be fractured, and he'll be taken to the hospital, right? But the same car will hit the hero, but he will do like this and walk. Or the hero will be falling from the 10th building, right? We had a typical personality in our state, but anyway, I don't want to go. He will fall from many places and then walk away like an ant. Okay? Every state will have the personalities. Okay? You know, they jump from the 10th floor and nothing will happen to them. They walk away. Same material body. So in the same way, Brahma is like our movie hero. Nothing will happen to him. He will just for a sec and he will rub and go away. For us, we are like villain. What happens if you jump from the 10th floor? Now, why 10th floor? Even from the steps after taking prasadam, there's 5 steps, right? You miss out, you know, one of the steps. You finish. Next day, you know, fracture only. Correct? We are so delicate. It will happen. So this is what happens. Right? So Brahma is like the real hero. We are like the villain. It's clear now? So this is how Brahma's activities are. Nothing will happen. Because already he's governed and is already in the spiritual energy. He's doing a work for Krishna. For example, we see how the devotees, right? Tirthapad. Sometimes he has to go to the city to buy something. That doesn't mean that, oh, Tirthapad has become him, has changed. No. They're doing something for the Lord's activity. Lord's service. He goes to the city to buy some cheese or something, whatever it may be. So in the same way, Brahma is doing some work for Krishna, but that happens to be in the mode of passion. Right? But he's such an elevated person. Already, you know, they are situated, right? Already he has got contact with Krishna. And then explain. Okay. Then Brahma, how to understand Brahma's activity? I said a simple and very, very simple analogy. We see gardener, right? Gardeners, right? What do? They take a seed, they sow it in the soil, they put water and all that, then later on the flower comes. He maintains the garden. But if someone says, oh, you made that rose, how nice it is. Oh, you created this flower, he may not like it because he is the one who sowed the seed. In the same way, what Brahma does is sowing. He puts a soul into a different bodies, 8.4 million bodies, species. Whatever you want, you can pick and choose. But if you want some body, you have to definitely think at the time of death. That's a body choice Krishna has given. The law of reincarnation. Whatever body you want, you should think at the time of death. So if someone wants a beautiful material body, then you dwell on the materialism. You'll get a body. But based on your karma also. Law of karma, law in reincarnation. But if someone is thinking of Krishna, then spiritual activities, then obviously, you know, you'll end up most probably thinking of Krishna. And the Lord will also help. So what you think at the time of death, based on that you get a particular body. So 8.4 million species is there. Brahma has to create bodies for them. Right? So he has to take the soul, and according to the karma, he has put in the body and push it into the material world. Come on, go. They'll say, no, I don't want dog's body. No, you have got it. Then the training will be given how to bark. And then given out you go. Then you get used to that. That is how it is. We may not want to know it. We may not like to hear it. But that's a fact. That's why we got this body. Right? One has to go through 8.4 million species to get this human form. Because in my last birth, I was not a devotee. Okay? If I'm not a devotee, then my body was taken care of by the material nature. Right? So the material nature, what happens gradually, you know, it elevates a particular soul to the human form. So after 8.4 million species, I've got this human form. If I stuff it up and again go back to the basics and come back. So it's very, very important. If you don't understand, then people don't know. They don't understand. Then they'll enjoy, do whatever nonsense they want. But after understanding, one should not go to illusion. As Krishna explains in the fourth chapter, he says, after you get this knowledge from a self-realized soul, 4.34, the Lord is saying the process, right? How one has to approach a guru. 4.34. The very next verse, 4.35, the Lord says, after getting this knowledge from a self-realized soul, one should not go back to illusion. Illusion means material life. Again, dwelling in the body. So one should progress in spiritual life. Alright? So this is an analogy which might help you understand. And finally, we'll conclude with this. Our binding the metal world is like a fish. Fish analogy. What happens? Say for example, the fish in the ocean is thinking, how nice people are going on the land, on the seashore, you know, shore. How nice it is. Alright? It is very nice and dry, clean. I would like to have a change. So what happens? The fish comes out of the ocean and moves into the shore and try to experiment. The very first thing is a disaster because it loses its environment. And then scorching heat. Right? It looks that there is a water mirage in the desert, right? At a distance, it looks that water is coming. When you go, there is no water. So this whole life is gone because of the wrong choice it has done. It is moved from its environment and trying to find happiness in a desert, which all of us are doing. Right? So this Maya, the Lord's creation, is illusory. Illusory means that which is not. It gives a feeling, yes, it is there, but actually it is not. Because everything is revolving around mind, which is a mental concoction. Because it's a container. As I said, you can feel bad things or good things. Right? So that is a choice which Krishna has given. That is why we are on the Tathaksha Shakti, marginal energy. We have a choice to select the spiritual energy or material energy through this container. Right? That mind container is given to you. If you put spiritual things, good things, it will be spiritual. If you put material things, it will be material. That is why people who have filled up their container with material things, very, very difficult to come to Krishna's side. And people who are filled up with Krishna's side, they will never go to the illusion. So it depends. Krishna has given the choice. That is a freedom. Right? How you fill your container? And how to fill your container? Through the 10 tubes. The 10 tubes are your 10 senses. So any time you have to be watchful. How the 10 tubes are going into the container? What is going into the tube? Because the 10 senses are going into the mind. That's it. If you are, once someone is able to purify the senses and mind, then that's it. That is spiritual life. Spiritual life is not something, you know. It's just a cleaning system. And once you clean it, it is a natural process. It becomes a lifestyle. Krishna conscious people think, oh, it's very, very difficult, right? It's not at all difficult. The first 6 months difficult. Maybe the first 1 year difficult. And then it becomes a natural process. Once you know what it is, one, even if you push someone else, he will not go. Because he has suffered. Material miseries, he's come out of that. So normally devotees have problem for first 6 months, 1 year. Some people maybe 2 years, something like that. And then once they are fixed, you know, after seeing the association with the Lord, one will not go back. That's the power of Krishna consciousness. Alright, so I'll stop here now. Because I've taken some enough time. So, quickly, you know, winding up. What are the things we saw? Deity's cause for this pregnancy. And what she did to do that. Demigods, they approach authority always. So we should also do that. Brahma, Srila Prabhupada explains the three characteristics of Brahma. And we covered the lifespan of Brahma. And a small example to illustrate a difference between our lifestyle and Brahma's lifestyle. Then Brahma, being the head of the sampradaya, is giving knowledge. But even though he is giving knowledge, yet he is sometimes bewildered. And what's the cause for the bewilderment? And we also discussed about an analogy, hero-villain, to understand Brahma's bewilderment. And then, Brahma activity, very difficult to understand. We also covered through a small example as a gardener, right? What a gardener does. And then finally, the fish analogy to explain the illusory energy of the material world and how one should be fixed in Krishna consciousness to stop the 7 miseries of the world, birth, death, old age, disease, trouble caused by the body and mind, trouble caused by other living entities, and trouble caused by demigods. Right? Trouble caused by demigod, all of you know. Couple of days back, it was quite warm. And today morning, extremely cold. Basically, I was shivering when I got up. You know? It is so cold. And this is where the problem is. When it is a hot, right? If it has been cold, you know, for a while, you will not know it. But suddenly hot and cold, then the material energy will harass you like that. What is it doing for? Why it is doing? Just to realize, just to make you understand that this world is a temporary place. Don't put all your hope into that. Because death is anytime waiting. If you don't die, then we'll enjoy. If you get a boon, if you take, for example, we take Amrita, you know, when the demigods and devatas, you know, demigods and the demons, when they were churning the milk ocean and they got nectar, if you have drunken that, then it's okay. But for us, death is waiting any time. And why are we, you know, not aware of that? So, one should understand the spiritual nature that I am not this body, but I am the soul. I am a spirit soul inside the body. The body is just a covering and it can die any time. So, one has to enhance or one has to do all activities to uplift the nature of the soul so that the soul only in union with the Supreme Soul will be happy. All other efforts are futile and one can never be happy. This is what all the scriptures say. You may try so many experiments, but one will never be happy. It's a futile effort. So, a spirit soul, a tiny nature, has to serve the Supreme Soul and has to be connected. Then there is happiness and prosperity. Otherwise, its death will take away everything, resulting in the change of body. Death means people think, oh, I will die, I will get rid of this body. But they are not aware that one more body is in store. This is a big mistake. The modern theory, the modern civilization, the modern education is not telling that. Which government is telling you what body you are going to get next? Australian government, Indian government, US government, they will tell you how you can become a rat, cat, or a snake. That development is given. So, this is not the end of the birth. Some people think, oh, my body, I've got cancer, I'm dying now, and I'll be happy. No, one more body is waiting because the soul is transmigrating. So, it's very, very important that one takes a Krishna conscious and do something for the soul rather than the body, because at the time of death, everything is finished. Body, property, everything. Okay, I wind up this. If there's any quick comments, corrections, questions, otherwise we'll wind up. Yes, Prabhu?
Excellent analysis.
Okay. Sorry, Prabhu?
Excellent analysis. My comment?
Yes, sir.
No question.
That's why I was wondering.
Excellent analysis of the spiritual and material things. So what we have to follow, we should follow Prahlad Maharaj. He said, I am attracted to Krishna like a magnet. I am iron. That is the only way we can leave the material world. Otherwise, as you said, we are always stuck in the material world. Some
all elevated, advanced devotees are then doing. See, it's very, very difficult. What happens, Krishna explains very quickly about the point that it is not the material energy is binding you. He has given a body. Why? Because you have a desire. You are attached. Say, for example, I am clinging on to this and saying, you know, take my hand. Help me out. But who is clinging on? I am clinging on, right? I like my body. I like to serve my body. So no one can help. Right? We are clinging on. So the living entity is suffering because of the attachment to the material energy. This is the whole point Krishna is driving in Bhagavad Gita Bhagavatam. The whole point, in a nutshell, one line. The living entity is suffering because of his attachment to the material energy in the form of gross body and subtle body. Because the gross body and subtle body is given by the material energy. We love our body. We want to enjoy with our body. We don't want to do anything which is not related to the body for our enjoyment. So Krishna said, take the body and suffer. But if one understands that, yes, I am not this body. I am a soul. And then I am spiritual in nature. So one will not be scared. If you are attached to something, you are scared. Isn't it? Someone is attached to the car. If there is an accident, then for them, the life is gone. Someone is attached to the body. If a finger is cut, that's the end of the life. Attached to the matter. Flesh and blood. Krishna explains this point. No, you're not flesh and blood. You're not nerves. You're not blood. You're not bones. What are you? Krishna explains in chapter 2. You are the person living. You're spiritual in nature. Because the body is changing. I'll also become an old man. I'll also die. So what's the big deal? I was a child. I was also 5 years old. I was also like him. Now my body is changing. Soon my body will become old and die. What's the big deal? So you are the person living in the body. So do Krishna consciousness. Practice. Know that you are spiritual. Then you are free. Okay. Thank you very much. We'll stop this. Hare Krishna. Gantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nithai Gaura Premanandi.